Welcome to the EANIS Network podcast series. EANIS stands for the European Network on International Student Mobility that aims to connect research and practice. Enjoy our podcast and get to know the latest news on international student mobility.
All right, so we are Zeynep Koylu, a researcher from University of Basel, and myself, Judith Borras, a researcher at University of Leiden and teacher at Universitat Pompeu Fabra. And today we are going to talk about our research, which is on intercultural competence and how it develops after different study abroad experiences that take place in non-Anglophone countries in the European context. So I don't know, Zeynep, what would you say if I asked you why, how come did we start doing this? Why did we start doing this?
Yes. Hi, everyone. So this is Zeynep Koylu. So thank you so much, Judith. We started, indeed, when we were doing our PhDs, we had several different research interests, but then we got amazed by how these sojourners, like study abroad people going abroad to study and develop their language skills, have benefited from their environment, their context, the interaction they had with the people around. So we, as applied linguists and people looking into how learners acquire their second language, wanted to explore this special context, this very both like valuable and benefitable context that we call study abroad in terms of language development at first. So we wanted to see someone going abroad versus someone stayed at home, developed like equally, or what aspects of their second language developed more, like oral skills or like written skills or their reading or listening abilities, their vocabulary. So we both of us started with these language related questions indeed. But then later on, as we just continued researching the phenomenon that's called study abroad, we realized that there are some side benefits, like research, like sojourners becoming more aware of different cultures, the value of intercultural exchange and communication, or they become more like world citizens. So they always ended up with some development in terms of their language, but also in terms of how they see the world and how they also interact with people from all around the world. Right, Judith?
Yeah, that's completely right. So we basically became interested in what goes on during the sojourn, what happens that makes people not only maybe improve some second language aspects, like as Zeynep was saying, vocabulary, for example, but also what happens during the sojourn that makes or helps students with this all through our research was that most studies focused on countries that we call traditional countries, which means going abroad to a country where your second language is the official language of the country. Like, for example, going to France to study French, or coming to Spain to study Spanish, or going to the UK to study English. And then we thought, but our participants are English learners, and they're not only going to the UK or the US, they're going everywhere, especially in Europe through the Erasmus program. We will realize that more than half of our participants were going to different non-Anglophone countries to improve their English skills. And they were having having lots of relationships with people who were also non-native speakers and then also native speakers, right? They were having these communities of practice, mm-hmm. and they did not need to be in the actual country to what we found to be the same outcomes or comparable outcomes, right, to those that were going to the UK. So we thought, okay, why don't we focus on these participants and how was it that these communities of practice that they developed with native speakers, but also and mostly non-native speakers, help them develop their cultural awareness. And this is something that we did not do at that time, 2 or 3 years ago. We didn't think of that, right? But then both of us, we had this questionnaire where we asked questions mostly related to language. But then 2-3 years later, we realized there's something more here. There has to be something more, right?
Yeah, so when we were looking into the learning potential of this English as a lingua franca study abroad that we abbreviate as ELSA, but later on, when we wanted to learn more about why some people returned empty-handed, like with no gains, we wanted to learn more about these people. What was the reason behind their not having any development in their language skills or like whatever? And then we, after some interviews with our previous participants, we realized that, and I mean, multicultural competence or like intercultural competence, or at least awareness and sensitivity, are very important factors in significantly changing a sojourner's performance or linguistic gains as well in this ELSA or traditional study abroad contexts. So that was the reason why we also wanted to conduct further research to learn more about this intercultural dynamic behind the scenes, let us say, right? So, exactly. So how did we start our research, Judith? Would you like to talk about
it? I think the motivation started when Zelina was actually invited, right, to do a chapter. And it was actually on intercultural development. And she sends me an email and she says, hey, are you interested in collaborating? And I was super excited, obviously, to collaborate with Zeynep for the first time. And we started looking into our data. What did we have, right? And we saw we started realizing that we did have something more in the questionnaire. So we started contacting those students that had gone 2 or 3 years ago, those students that had gone to non-Anglophone countries, European non-Anglophone countries, and we had a few answers, some of them very motivated, some of them saying they were very busy, and we completely understand. And then out of these people that answered, we came up with this small database, but very interesting database, and what we did was we met with them individually to conduct some interviews, individual interviews, and we talked about their stays. We used the questionnaires that we had and the analysis of their language development and the answers that they had previously given to conduct this interview. So it was like a semi-guided interview. But then they started talking and explaining and telling us stories about things that had happened during the stay that were very, very interesting. So then we thought, why don't we put them all together in one room, right? So I did it with my participants who are Catalan Spanish bilinguals, and Zeynep did it with her Turkish participants. And we put them together in one room, and we had these little focus group interviews. And what we started seeing was that they had similar situations and they could share their experiences. And we could start seeing how those experiences could have shaped their language gains or their intercultural gains. And it was quite enlightening at that moment, right?
Yeah, so totally different from what we have always done. Like, we always conducted quantitative research, but this time we wanted to give it a try going the qualitative way because, like, of course, these instruments or test batteries about social and cultural adaptation or intercultural competence and such are very valuable to elicit data from participants, like self-reported data. But we wanted to see the actual dynamics, like how a sojourner interacts with his or her immediate environment during their stay abroad. That's why we went the qualitative way and collected semi-structured interviews first. And then it was a brilliant idea, I think. We went ahead with these focus group interviews, like people sharing the same first language and they also shared the same native culture. And we wanted to see if they had similar experiences, comparable experiences and such. And yeah, I mean, the results are super surprising on our side because, like, for instance, both the Catalan-Spanish group and the Turkish group were talking about the fact that Erasmus as an exchange scheme was like, help them to find themselves in an environment which is rather a community of practice. Like, they also associated and affiliated themselves with this community of practice, which resulted in their having a lingua franca identity. Like, they started to own English as a language of their own. Because when they were interacting with native speakers of English, they always had this kind of like disturbance or anxiety to make mistakes or not to be fully comprehended or such. But when they interacted with non-native speakers of English, especially in this lingua franca environment, they always reported that they felt that affiliation, that sense of belonging, and they developed a different identity, a global supra-identity above their native culture and such, and they became like international people. So when they developed this global international part of themselves, they had fewer social and cultural adaptation problems. So that was really interesting because, I mean, of course, like Mediterranean people are really like each other, but then both the Catalan Spanish group and Turkish group had very similar experiences in that sense. And they yes. also ended up with like this new me, this notion of new me, that was a total change of personality. And that was a new world perspective. Like they totally changed. Right. That was an immense experience, this stay abroad. And they ended up with a different cultural identity. So that was, at the very least, was the case for our participants. Right, Judith? Yeah. Would you like to yeah. add to that?
And it changed them very much. And some of them mentioned how at the beginning they were homesick and they couldn't stop talking with the people at home. But then when they started going with the flow, they mentioned like this going with the flow and just going with it and loosening up, they started meeting people. And what happened was that when they came back, they felt like they didn't fit in their traditional context, right? Because they felt like they had changed. It's this identity that Zeynep was mentioning. They had changed. They had broken stereotypes that they had before. Some of them said, no, I didn't think I would be friends with this group of people because they are blah, blah, blah. But then I met them and I was like, wow, was I really thinking this about this group of people? Like, where did I even take this from? Like, this is not real. So then when they came back home, what happened was that they were surrounded by people that still had these stereotypes, but yeah. by people that were still in this kind of mindset. They hadn't moved forward, kind of thing. So they found it more complicated to have the same relationships. And what happened was that they started creating new relationships with people that had developed this kind of similar identity to them, or people that had gone through something different. And this leads us to saying something that is very interesting about our participants, and it is that most of them are not currently living in their countries and they're living abroad and looking for opportunities abroad because they feel like they want to experience this even more. So in the case of my participants, they finished their degrees here, but then they looked for masters abroad and teaching opportunities abroad so that they could go back and learn and practice even more and even take on a third language that they had encountered in these elf countries. For example, one of them went to a German speaking country, and now she wanted to learn more German because she was interested in that. And also one of them went to a French speaking country, and now she was looking forward to learning more French. So I think that's also something very interesting that comes out from these participants that go to these non-Anglophone countries, yeah. this multilingual variable that they
Yeah, so the value of like this lingua franca environment is more than we could ever imagine, because like not only in the case that multiple languages are like spoken in Europe, for instance, all around Europe. So this plurilingual identity and pluricultural identity is a definite, I mean, is an indispensable bonus of going for an exchange within the Erasmus scheme. Like if I quote one of the participants, one of our participants, she was talking about like the just going over a bridge and ending up with a new dialect of German, for instance, in the case of Switzerland and Germany, and the Swiss variety, that dialect is totally different than standard German. But this helped her understand that like multilingual, multicultural identities of Europe are very much welcomed. So she kind of like changed towards welcoming such differences as enriching properties, like in enriching characteristics of the people around Europe. So that was pretty much like, I mean, you can never train or teach or instruct people in a classroom that, I mean, this value of being surrounded by multicultural and multilingual people, but this experience only a semester itself helps them like immensely change and become new people, like new personalities, right?
Yeah.
So let me check,
again, so having talked about the results, now I'm thinking about like the research, the barriers that we'll have to cross now to try and get these results out there, right? I think they're very interesting. And at the beginning, what happened to me was that as a quantitative researcher, what happened was I started thinking about what we were doing. And I don't know, I thought it was more difficult to put into paper because I felt like it was more informal. I don't know how to say it. I guess because I'm used to this quantitative type of research where you need the numbers and you need at least, I don't know, a big number of participants, and we have 7 participants in total. So we have like tons of data, which is the real thing. We have so much data, but it comes from 7 participants. And at the beginning, I thought this would be a barrier. And then we started investigating on qualitative research, but, and I think we're okay now, but that was something that I had to think about. I don't know if it happened to you.
Yeah, that's the same, because it was a methodological challenge. So we were not dealing with numbers, but actual textual data. And at moments, I felt that it's too personal, too subjective.
Yeah.
And are we interpreting the data as we should? Like, so we also encounter with our own researcher selves. Like we ended up writing a positionality statement, for example, because we were too much involved with this research because we also studied abroad, right? Mm-hmm. So we kind of like reflected our own experience when we were analyzing the data as well. And at moments we also went for member checking, like we analyzed some data, some portion of the data, and then asked these participants, do you think this analysis makes sense to you? That was a totally different way, right? As opposed to a quantitative research study. But we learned a lot, right?
Yeah.
That was difficult, but we really learned a lot. And if we need to talk about some practical implications, I think we all had the same problem. Before departure, these students, exchange students, never receive the orientation or training they actually need in their host countries, right? They were always talking about that, right, Judith?
Yeah. Actually, that's one of the things they said. Yeah, like they try to prepare you in terms of language. Like that's all that they tell you. You need to be prepared. You need to know how to speak English because that's the way. And then you get to these countries where other things happen and you're not prepared because culturally you're not prepared, or even language wise you're not prepared because they tell you about English and they don't tell you about like all the languages. And this is a real problem, and it has happened in other research that has been published. Like, for example, when people come to Catalonia, which is in Spain, right? And they have to face Catalan, and no one has ever told them before that Catalan is a thing, right? So they get here thinking they'll get the full experience of Spanish, and what they find is a whole community of Catalan speakers. And that can be quite a barrier. And it's actually one barrier that has stopped people from learning Spanish.
Yeah.
And it's just something that we should bear in mind, right? Like we have this wonderful combination of countries in Europe, and it's not like one language is more important than the other. And I think, and our participants said that it would be interesting to know all these before going abroad. And this is just one of the things that they would like to know. There's so many others, so many things that they would love to do. Actually, one of my participants went to a country and she took on a course on cultural development through films. And they saw different cultures reflected on the films, and they had to reflect on those and say what they thought before and then after. And she said she thought, I would have appreciated this very much before coming here, because things that have happened, I don't think they would have happened if I had done this, you know? Yeah. So yeah, I think one of the strongest implications that we have from our data is that we need to do something in relation to the pre-departure
orientation,
yeah, with
intercultural awareness or sensitivity, focused orientation tailored for the specific needs of future sojourners. That's the need, and that's one of the most important practical implications of our study. And what are the next steps? We still continue collecting data, so we would like to learn more about the power of English as a lingua franca, or the role of English as a lingua franca, when these participants turn into more globalized, like interculturally sensitive human beings, let me say. So we plan to collect some focus group interview data from people who will be interacting with each other during the interview using English as their contact language, as the lingua franca. So we will learn more about the power of lingua franca as a variety and how it functions in Europe amongst sojourners and helps them to become interculturally aware and sensitive individuals, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes, that's the plan.
Great. So time is up.
Yes. Thank you very much to everyone for listening to us.
Yes, thank you so much. So you will learn more about international student mobility and its value, and how ISM students socially and culturally integrate into their new environment as we go ahead with the COST project, ANIS COST project. So thank you so much for your for listening, and see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast was powered by the European Union-founded COST Association.